Good morning, Foundation Baptist Church. It is so good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn them to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Our text this morning will be verses 11 through 26. Peter's second sermon, Turning from Your Wickedness. Turning from Your Wickedness. For context, I will begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that this Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you have given to us. Thank you for our health. Lord, thank you for the ability to gather together through technology to hear your word proclaimed. We ask that you would edify us and strengthen us and encourage us during this time. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the Holy Spirit has come. God's children have been clothed with power from on high. Peter preached the good news and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Much has already happened in this book of Acts. Peter preached truth, and they ask him, What shall we do? Peter's answer, Repent and obey by being baptized. Call on Christ. The church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the Lord's Supper, dinner in homes with one another, and to prayer. What they devoted themselves to, it bore fruit. Their obedience to the Lord flowed from their personal devotion to the Lord. Their obedience to the Lord flowed from their personal devotion to the Lord. They possess glad and generous hearts that praise the Lord. They believe that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the gospel went forward. Last week, we saw two of the apostles, Peter and John, traveling to the temple to pray. And as they were traveling, they were presented with an unforeseen opportunity to make much of the Lord. They were ready for the unexpected. They were ready to be used for Christ, and in the name of Jesus Christ, a lame man was healed. A man who was lame from birth was now walking, leaping, and praising God. This brings us to our text this morning. Point number one is found in Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Amazement and explanation. Amazement an explanation. While he hung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" The now leaping man was clinging to Peter and John. He was full of thankfulness and excitement. His life was completely changed, and he was overwhelmed with gratitude. Personally, if I was the one who had just been physically healed, I would have responded the exact same way, overwhelmed with what had just happened, the fact that I could walk and run and leap and jump. Verse 11 informs us that the people were utterly astounded. They were full of amazement, of marvel and wonder at what they saw with their eyes. The man whom they knew, the man who was lame, who was never moving around, always in need of help, he was now leaping and praising God. Peter responds to them in verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" Peter is not surprised by the lame man now leaping. Is something wrong with Peter? No. Is Peter joyless? No, not at all. Peter knew that it was not him or John who healed the lame man. Peter knew it was all the Lord. And this is why he is not surprised or standing in wonder. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And this name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." Peter informed the wondering crowd that faith in Jesus Christ is what made this weak and lame man strong and able to walk and leap. Peter was the hand. The power was Christ. Peter was a hand. The power was Christ. Peter took the audience located on this grand porch that surrounded the temple and overlooked the city to the Old Testament scriptures, to the God that they had gathered to pray to, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. The one that the crowd delivered and denied. The one they demanded to be murdered. The one they killed was the author of life, the holy and righteous one who has been raised from the dead. Jesus was the promised Messiah whom the prophets proclaimed. Peter is declaring the deity and power of Jesus Christ, the glory of Christ. That what they were marveling about was the power of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the suffering servant who had been raised. Peter took them to Isaiah 53, and Peter and John were witnesses to this truth. It was faith in the name of Jesus that made this man strong. The faith that is through Jesus. Their wonder and amazement was not the working of man, but the work of Jesus, the Son of God, whom they delivered, denied, and demanded to be murdered. They killed the author of life. They took the life of the one who created them. They killed the holy and righteous one and released Barabbas, who was a murderer. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Let us be reminded of these details from Luke's first book. Luke 23, beginning in verse 13. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who has been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. The promised Messiah was the one whom the crowd was yelling, "Crucify him." But the one who was crucified was no longer dead. He had risen, and he just healed the one whom they were standing in amazement over. He was alive and working. This crowd that was wondering, "What in the world just happened? How is this lame man now leaping?" had just heard from Peter that it was the power of the one they murdered. Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had seen do miracles, was still doing miracles today, because Jesus is exalted, because Jesus is Lord. The crippled man was no longer lame and begging. He was walking, leaping, praising God, and clinging to Peter and John. He was thankful and in perfect health. Please take notice of what Peter and John did not do. Peter and John did not take credit for what the Lord did, but they served the Lord, and Peter used the opportunity divinely given them to preach his second sermon. They did not agree with the crowd and say it was our faith and piety that healed this man. We must also never take credit for what the Lord does. We must remain humble and faithful servants. Because great joy is found in being content with just being a child of the Lord and faithfully serving Him. What a great privilege it is to be alive in the year 2020. What a blessing it is to have the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, to be able to read, meditate, and study God's Word, to read many of the Old Testament promises and see that they have already been fulfilled, to see the promises of the Messiah, and to know that our Messiah has already come. We can study these words in Acts 3 and find rest in our Savior. We can rest in the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is still changing and saving lives, that His mission is still alive and well. And as His children, we are to be involved in that mission. And point number two, from verses 17 through 26, we find ignorance and repentance. Ignorance, grace, and repentance. Verse 17. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that this Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. I love these verses. Peter proclaims the truth of Jesus unapologetically, and he confronts their personal sin. He declares that they acted in ignorance. He instructs them that they are guilty, although they didn't know what they were doing. Jesus confirmed this on the cross in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The crowd was guilty of murdering Jesus. But this was God's plan. Scripture was fulfilled. Jesus suffered, but he was raised to life. The crowd was guilty. And so Peter continues in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Peter's first sermon in Acts 2, we find the word repent. Peter's second sermon here in Acts 3, repent. He commanded that they have a change of mind. He commanded that they turn from their wickedness so that their sins may be blotted out by Jesus the Messiah. He was calling for them to seek refuge in Jesus Christ for their salvation. They acted in ignorance and had killed the Messiah, but grace was offered. Hope was offered. Repent. Peter was declaring, you know the truth. Jesus is God. He is the promised Messiah. Repent. Repentance is necessary. Turn to God. Jesus is the one who blots out your sins. Jesus is the one who will restore all things. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. These verses are great. Great commentary on what we are looking at. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. All of our trespasses, all of our debt that stands against us before a holy God is paid for, is forgiven for those who are in Jesus Christ. It is the work of Christ that covers our sins. Repent. Christ is our only victory. Peter was declaring, "You are marveling at the lame man now walking. Marvel at this. You killed the Son of God, but forgiveness is found in Christ. Repent." Jesus physically healed the lame man. You need Jesus to be spiritually healed. You see, our greatest problem is not outward, it is inward. It is our sin, it is our heart. The truth of the gospel, the good news, this is what we are to continue to marvel at, and this is what we are to be proclaiming. During this time of uncertainty, during this time where we would say, things are crazy, there is hope, and we are to give them hope, we are to tell to them the truth of Jesus, that there is hope. Yes, let us pray for the coronavirus and this global pandemic to end. But don't forget that our God has authority over all. Yes, let us love and serve each other in this local body. Yes, let us help those around us in the name of Jesus. But most of all, let us offer grace and call people to repent. Let us not see this world only with our eyes, but let us focus when we see this world with our eyes, with what we cannot see, the souls of those we see. Times of refreshing are found in Jesus today. When the Spirit of God comes in your life, when your sin has been blotted out, refreshment is found now, and it will be perfectly found at the return of Christ. Refreshment can be found today, and full restoration will come when Jesus returns and makes all things right. In our main text, Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days, 'You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall be all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.'" Peter takes this Jewish audience who knew the scriptures to the prophets, Moses, Samuel, and then to Abraham. All the Old Testament prophets pointed to Jesus. Peter was declaring to the surrounding Jews, if you want to grasp what just happened to this lame man who was now leaping, we must go to the scriptures. Peter quotes Deuteronomy 18:15-18, that Jesus is the greater prophet. Souls that listen to him will be saved. They will be blessed. And souls that do not listen to him, that deny him, will be destroyed. With discussing Abraham, he declares that the Messiah has come and his name is Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. Peter is showing these Jews that all the prophets, all of the scripture that they knew, they were pointing to Jesus, the one that they had just killed. Peter says, "You are the Jews. Jesus came for you first. Don't continue to reject him. Turn from your wickedness and turn to Christ and be saved. Repent." All of us who are listening to this right now are guilty of killing Jesus. Repent and turn to God. Destruction is coming. Without Christ, one is hopeless. Let us be reminded today and this week that our greatest need is to joyfully rest in Christ. That in Christ we find forgiveness. In Christ we find our hope. In Christ is our resurrection. Christ is our everything. As a wise man once said, Christ is really all that we have. I am praying that the Lord would give us eyes to see that the greatest need that we have is to rest in Jesus. And the greatest need of those around us is for them to find life in Christ. Let us seize every opportunity as Peter did and preach the gospel. Let us serve and serve the Lord well in the name of Jesus. As we continue to live in this time of uncertainty, not knowing what comes next, let us be faithful to look beyond what our eyes can see. And let us look to Jesus. Set your mind on what is to come, the glories of heaven, the glories of being with Jesus forever. That as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can become so overwhelmed with all of our present circumstances that we lose sight and our mind is not remembering what is to come. That this is just our pilgrimage right now. That this pilgrimage is hard. This pilgrimage is difficult. In this pilgrimage is suffering, and we will suffer just as our Savior did. But if we are to glorify the Lord, which is our chief end, if we are to faithfully serve Him, if we are to worship Him as Job did in a difficult time, we must have our eyes fixed on Jesus. We must have our minds remembering heaven and the glories to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. Father, thank you for allowing us the privilege to study the book of Acts. To see an apostle who stood with great boldness and lifted up his voice and proclaimed the gospel. To see your apostle minister to one. And in this opportunity, as people stood around amazed, he once again preached the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the same boldness. Take away our pride and fill us with humility. Lord, make us overwhelmed with the fact that we are your children. Make us overwhelmed with the truth of the gospel. Father, thank you for your holy word. May we be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are here and listening to this, and the Lord has revealed to you your sins, I call you, as Peter did, to repent. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that there is only times of refreshing in Jesus Christ. Repent. Call on Christ for salvation. Foundation family, know this. I miss seeing you. I miss living life with you. I miss hearing your sarcasm and seeing your faces. But know this, I am praying for you. I'm praying that you rest in Christ. I am praying that you use every opportunity that you can to point others to Jesus Christ during this time of uncertainty. And those words, these times of uncertainty that I have used often, the truth is, every day is uncertain for us. But the Lord, He is providentially ruling. He is sovereign over all things. Let us trust Him, let us live for Him, and let us glorify Him. For our God, He is good. I look forward to joining you again next week as we continue in Peter's sermon and we see how this crowd responds. To God be all the glory. I love you. Hope you have a wonderful day, resting in God's grace.